We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the people of Missouri. We're for brewmasters, stockbrokers, beauty queens, and truck drivers. Whatever you do, if you're a Missourian, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years of lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Hour number two begins with Adam Teicher from the ESPN. He's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. Orthopedic walk-in care, it's available. That's right. Walk right in. If you suffer an orthopedic injury in everyday life or playing sports, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care. They're right there at 435 and Knoll in Overland Park. Weekdays 8 to 7, Saturdays 8 to 2. You can learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics. Adam, my friend, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Are you giddy for the draft? Are you super excited?
Let's get it here, man. Let's do this. I wish we could do it tonight, right?
Yeah.
We've been talking about it for a while. Let's draft.
On a scale of 1 to 10, the fear factor at Arrowhead over the acquisition of Zach Wilson by the Denver Broncos should be what?
A 1 to 10, it should be a minus 3 or something like that, right?
Them words.
I don't know. I mean, there's some people who think that there's something, you know, that there's a little bit, that it's worth a gamble, that, you know, this isn't a stupid trade for the Broncos. You know, they got to eat some of his salary, but not all of it. And they really, you know, didn't give up much in terms of draft pick compensation, just swapping a few picks. So I don't, this might not be such a bad thing for them. I mean, it's probably going to lead to nothing, but I don't think the Chiefs should be concerned, or anybody should be concerned about it. But interesting move by the Broncos.
Yeah, interesting is one way to put it. Do you think this is going to actually be their starting quarterback when they play the Chiefs the first week? Or are they, you know, because a lot of people have them being in that mix to move up. Everyone's got Minnesota moving up to the Chargers pick or the Cardinals pick at 4 or 5. Somebody getting up there. Most people have Minnesota to take J.J. McCarthy. What do you think, you know, the Broncos? I know you do all your different mock drafts with all the insiders there at ESPN. Mm-hmm. What do you think the Broncos are actually going to do?
Yeah, I don't think Zach Wilson will be their guy on opening day or except in case of injury anytime next year. If they were this excited about it, they would have given up more and made this happen a little while ago. You know, they wouldn't have just kind of taken the chance that, well, some other team's going to beat our offer and the Jets are going to send him away and we're going to miss out on him. If they were really that excited about it, they would have done a little more here. So I don't see that. And as far as them moving up, I don't know. I mean, I can't see them getting up high enough. I mean, if you got to go to, you know, 4 or 5 or what, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood to get a quarterback you like, I just don't think they've got enough. They're at what, 12? And then they've got to, they don't have a second round pick. And so you're talking about either bankrupting your entire draft plus some next year or giving up a number one next year. I mean, you know, I don't think the Broncos can do that unless one of these quarterbacks falls that they like. I just don't see it. I don't think they've got enough to get it done. Maybe they'll find a way. But, boy, they better be right because they're, you know, after what they gave up for Russell Wilson, they're going to be giving up a lot of their draft this year and next to get this player.
Do you fear the Chargers at all? Jim Harbaugh coming in, they got a quarterback, they have a high pick.
I think there's better direction there, you know, but I don't think the Chiefs need to fear anybody, you know. I think there may be going to be better competition from the Chargers. than there's been the last few years. You know, that maybe, but I think the Chiefs have had all the, they've been the ones who had all the answers the last few years in the division and outside of the division, really, right? So, they've got a lot going for them. They know how to get this done, and I think the Chargers are a team to watch, though. I put it that way.
And of course, the Raiders.
Yeah, of course. Can't forget about the Raiders, right? And they've figured it out. They've got the formula. They know how to do this, right? How many times have we heard that over the years, you know, that somebody showed the league how to do this, that, they showed how you can beat the Chiefs. Whether it's, play press man or play deep zone, two deep zone, I mean, we've heard it all over the years. And, good for Antonio Pierce. He's figured it out, I guess. But we'll see if he really has. I have my doubts here.
Their last postseason win was the 2002 AFC Championship game.
It only seems like more than 22 years. Let's put it that way.
I mean, Rich Gannon at 37, however old he was the last quarterback to win a postseason game for the Raiders.
Their best moment last season was the one that made the Chiefs realize this is really bad. We have to change up our offense.
So Antonio Pierce has got it figured out. So maybe that's the team the Chiefs need to worry about this year.
Yeah, that's for sure what I'm thinking. The Raiders are the threat. I want to play at least one. We'll see where we go from here. But I want to play a little bit of Brett Veach's comments from last week. Start with this one when he was asked. Matt Derrick asked him if he can see himself making a move from 32 into the top 15 for a non-quarterback.
I mean, I can envision myself. I mean, got to get the owner's approval on that. But, I think it changes every year, and I think we have a pretty good plan this upcoming week. I think, listen, every situation is unique. I mean, we have had conversations in the last few years about guys that we consider top five, top six prospects if they were to fall into the teams moving up, and got Clark and Andy involved, and they were all in it, and those situations just didn't work out. So I think that I certainly could see something like that. A lot of things have to fall in place, though, for that to happen. So it'd have to be probably a specific guy or two, and then probably getting into a landing spot that's not expected. And then if he does get to that landing spot that's not expected, the team is willing to work with you on a trade that makes sense. So certainly can see it. A lot of things have to happen and fall in place for to see an outcome like that. But I always think anything's possible.
All right. Anything's possible. What do you hear? Do you hear a guy who's priming the pump to get moving up?
They did it in 2017, right? So they've done it once before. So we're not just talking theoretically. They made this work. But, now I just can't see no to answer your question. And I just can't see them being a prospect, a player they could reasonably go get who's worth what they gave up or more than what they gave up for Mahomes. So I don't see that. But, you never know. I certainly wouldn't count on that, no.
I'm not counting on it, but I also didn't, can I see myself? Yeah, but I got to get the owner's approval. If I were to read it, I don't think he's optimistic that there's any kind of big jump up. That's how I took that. They're not going to pay the price. We went over one of the trade charts. If you want to get up to number 10, you have to give up another first-round pick. And why would you give up two first-round picks? Plus probably a third. Why would you do that if you're the Chiefs?
Yeah, and he's he hit on a lot of things there. He said, hey, he thinks about it and they talk about it. Sure, I mean that's only smart, but there are a lot of things that get in the way. He needs the owner's approval. He needs Andy Reid's approval. He also a lot of things, like he says, need to fall into place. The guy has to fall into a particular spot. You got to have a team willing to trade with the Chiefs. So it's so unlikely. I can't imagine it happening, but it happened back in 2017 for sure.
Yeah. All right. What about a mild trade up?
Yeah, I could see that. You know, I would never put a trade up past Brett Veach. He's only done it, what, 200 times or so since he's been the general manager, right? So I wouldn't put it past him. You know, it's got to be the right guy, and somebody's got to be willing to trade with him. I'm maybe looking at Tampa. Tampa's at 26, right? I'm looking at Tampa there and thinking, is that a team that might want to move back and pick up an extra pick or two and be willing to deal with the Chiefs. So, you know, that may be a spot to look at is 26. It's an NFC team that might be willing to work with the Chiefs on this. So, I don't know that this is the year for the Chiefs to be, to be making a move like that with what they've got draft-wise in terms of draft picks. But, I would never say Brett Veach wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and then what about the trade-down scenario? He doesn't do it often. You know, he's done it once, I think, right? That was when they traded back and I think ended up taking Sky Moore.
Yeah, that was the one, and he got a standing ovation in the draft room from the other scouts who applauded him on finally making a trade back. So, yeah, I wouldn't predict that from the Chiefs, but you never know. I mean, what happens? You know, is there somebody wants to get back into the first round to get another pick and guarantee that fifth-year option on a player? And if they can give the Chiefs something good, I don't think that's a bad strategy, depending on what the Chiefs have on their board. You know, if they can drop back 5-6 spots and still get the guy they want, that's always, I think, a good strategy.
Yeah, I love that idea. I just didn't feel like Brett Veach. Plus, the reports that they wanted to go up and get Zay Flowers last year, the fact that they didn't end up getting that done makes me think he's going to be even more chomping at the bit. Like, I don't think he's going up high, but I do think 4 or 5 spots to get their guy. I think that won't surprise me in the least if that ends up being what he does. How about the fact, did you notice that a number of times he brought up the cornerback position?
He did, yeah. And, you know, we did our mock draft and at ESPN, the NFL Nation the other day, and I was Nate Wiggins from Clemson was falling, and I'm thinking, okay, that's going to be my guy. And somebody beat me to him 2 or 3 picks ahead. Somebody took Nate Wiggins, Clemson, and I didn't get him. But I came down to 2 guys, and one of them was a corner. It was Anis Rakestraw of Missouri. He was one of the 2 guys I considered at 32, and I didn't take Rakestraw. But, yeah, I think corner is definitely a possibility for the Chiefs, depending on if there's somebody there they like.
You know, he was saying before they took McDuffie, hey, it's not that we don't value corners. We just haven't had the opportunity. And now we're going to be like, settle down, man. Can't just be all corners.
Well, that draft worked out so well for him that maybe he feels like it's time. It's only been 2 years. It's time for another one.
They've literally gone to the corner store.
All right. I want to play another one. Get your thoughts on this. I brought up the subject of Sweat, the defensive tackle from Texas, who picked up the DWI and asked him if basically players like this, with the Rashee Rice case going on, how do you have to take guys like Devondre Sweat off the board?
We spend a great deal of time on all these players, and, you know, I think we have to look at each individual case independently and just work through it. And, you know, I think maybe subconsciously, maybe it factors a little, but I think that when we stick to our process and, you know, trust the guys that we have around us, I mean, we have a great coaching staff, we have a great personnel staff, we have, you know, a great security team. So, we really lean on those guys. And, you know, at the end of the day, I trust the people around me and, you know, they spend a lot of time working on the player and his ability to come in here and be a good person, be a good teammate. And so I think, you know, we try to stick to, you know, what we've done in the past. And I mean, there'll always be some things that factor into ultimately what we decide to do with a guy. But I think sticking to our process, and we've done this now for, you know, a little bit here, and it, over the long run, it's, you know, provided us a good blueprint to work off of.
What was your takeaway?
Well, I feel like they need to be a little maybe more sensitive to most teams to the DUI situation. You know, you talked about Devondre Sweat. I feel like they need to be more sensitive maybe than most teams because of the Britt Reid situation. And, you know, there was apparently alcohol involved with Rashee Rice, but still that, you know, they're these vehicle things are a real sore spot around here. And so I can't say what they've done in the case of Devondre Sweat. I've not asked or checked into that.
It is
entirely possible they've taken him off the board.
Well,
they wouldn't really.
Yeah. And I just want to be clear, I brought his name up because that is public. But you know there are other guys that they have word that this guy got a DWI, that it's not, maybe it was known 3 years ago before the guy actually got on the field at Alabama or whatever. It was a little footnote because he wasn't a star. And it's kind of, you know, made its way under the bridge. But they will know about a number of guys. And that was kind of the point is, you know, our character have to be a bigger thing. And the one thing I will say is if he'd come out and been like, oh, God, yeah, they're all off the board, you'd be like, well, they never had any process whatsoever. Right, he talked about a process, which I can appreciate. It just didn't work, right? To this point, it didn't work with Rashee Rice in the sense that he's been trouble-free. Now, maybe it's going to be his one mistake, and he's going to go on to be great moving forward. But, you know, I do appreciate the fact that he didn't just go, oh, yeah, you know, all these guys are off the board. Well, then that's half the guys off the board.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I agree with him. I think it's the right philosophy or policy to say, you know, we take it on a case-by-case basis. And, you know, you might find there are two situations that are similar, and one guy just did an isolated dumb thing, and the other guy is a complete knucklehead, you know? And you have to know what, you know, you have to do your homework and find out what the difference is. So I applaud them maybe for not having a blanket policy on certain things. I feel like around here particularly, we need to be a little more, look at it even with more of a critical eye when guys have a DUI or something like that.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. You chastised Brett Veach for having 221 players on his board. Why?
John Dorsey used to brag about, being maybe 125, 130, 135, somewhere in that neighborhood, having that number on the board. So, you know, I used to joke with Dorsey, with Brett about that every now and then. And so when I heard that number, I mean, what was the number? 221? I mean, 221. That's almost 100 more than Dorsey's goal. So I just had to just remind him that Dorsey's going to be calling him and getting on him a little bit about having 221 guys on the draft.
So why is the number so low? 125. How do you get down to 125? It's because all quarterbacks are off. We're not interested in a kicker because we have Bucker. They're all off. Is it just need-based?
Well, no, it's not. All teams, believe it or not, you know, even though there's 200 and some guys drafted, teams' draft boards can vary, and a lot of times do vary wildly toward the back end of the draft. Maybe not so much in the first or second round, but toward the end of the draft, people's opinions on players start varying quite a bit. And so there are guys who might go in the fifth round or something to another team the Chiefs don't even have on their board because they don't feel he's very good. And meanwhile, the Chiefs might draft a guy in the fifth round that other teams or some other teams don't have on their board because they don't think much of him. So that's kind of what it is guys. I think there's probably more than 125 draftable players in a given NFL draft, but there may not be 220 either.
I do get it that, you know, they have a style linebacker that they want, right? They don't want a 3-4 stand-up edge type guy. Those guys are gone. If they don't think they can play D-line, they come off, right? I think it also speaks to, don't you think they're pretty big on their measurables? Like they your tackle, your arms better be this long, or you're not on the board. Your edge, you better be this long, or you're not on the board. Like there are numbers that if you don't meet up to them, I don't think you make the board.
Yeah, but they make exceptions every now and then. I think Trent McDuffie was one of those. You know, they like the big, long, lean corners, you know, and certainly he's not that. But they made an exception in his case and were rewarded for it. So, you know, it's they're guys who are going to probably break their rules and still be on their draft board. Maybe not as high as Trent McDuffie was, but I think there's going to be some guys, maybe offensive tackles, who are going to have the arm length that they might end up drafting in a later round. You know, so there's all that. And, you know, with 125 guys on your board, if that's all you've got, you know, there's 200 and some guys drafted. So you would think maybe the Chiefs get to the end of the draft and their last pick or two, and there's nobody left on their board. No, that's not how it works. There's always guys left, even when you have a lesser number on your board than is going to be drafted. There's always guys at the end of the draft there's always going to be guys on their board at the end of the draft, and so they'll try to go after those guys in free agency.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program. I want to play one more for you. I want to play the one where he talked about teams not trading with him. This is one I hear like, oh, no one's going to help the Chiefs. No one's going to help the Chiefs. It's one of the ones I asked him about, you know, is this reality that because you're the champ, nobody really wants to help you out?
Yes and no. I think that if a team if it can benefit them, I think they're always going to pick up the phone and call and be willing to work. I don't think a team is going to, diminish their ability to do something they really want to do just because it's the Chiefs. I do think, though, that the ability to deal with certain teams, it's always been understood that if you're going to deal with a team in your division, there's a little bit more of a premium. But I think just some of the AFC teams in general that – are consistent playoff performers. I mean, the Buffaloes and the Cincinnati's and the Baltimore's. I mean, it's probably a little bit harder to deal with those teams. And even if they do pick up the phone, I think some of their asking prices are a tick higher. So I think we get hit with a little bit more interest. But I think that there's always a way to make a deal. But I think certain teams will probably up the price up a little bit.
Listen, if that's the case, GMs are a lot dumber than I think. Like, you have to make your team better. Like, if the deal makes your team better, what it does for the Kansas City Chiefs is absolutely irrelevant. The idea that, like, oh, we might have to play him in the first round of the playoffs, or if you're an NFC team, we might see him in the Super Bowl, or oh, it's okay for the NFC teams to do that, but AFC teams can't, or AFC West teams can't. Like, that's just ridiculousness. Like, that's why these guys get fired a lot.
No, I agree. It really is irrelevant what happens on the other side of the trade, as long as you get a good deal out of it. You know, that's the only thing that really should matter. And I agree completely. I've never really understood that philosophy, but it's out there. I know it is, but I don't think that teams are that, you're going to find a majority of teams in the league who are afraid to deal with the Chiefs. You know, I certainly don't think that's going to be the case. But, there may be a little bit of that because teams are afraid of that they're going to get criticized publicly for a deal they make, and they don't want that. But, I agree. You really shouldn't look at it from the other team's perspective. Look at it from your own. Are you going to benefit from this trade? Are you giving up something you don't want or getting something really good in return? And, that strategy doesn't make a lot of sense.
I don't doubt. I'm not doubting what Revy said. He's the guy who gets on the phone with him, so he would know. But like, it just speaks to why. So if you're that, paralyzed by the idea that the Chiefs might get a good deal, then you don't know what you're doing. You stack everything up. You see what it is. You know what everything's worth. The deal either is good or bad for you, and that's the only concern. I find that amazing. If indeed there are people that are that ridiculous, that dumb at not trading with the Chiefs. I mean, stunning.
I agree. That doesn't make much sense to me either. So, yeah, I've never understood the idea of having to win every negotiation, whether it's player contract or trade negotiation or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. I just don't. Hey, if the other party's happy, maybe that's a good thing. You get to deal with them again. But as long as it works out for you, what's the difference? I just don't get it.
Yeah, no, I don't either. We're talking with Adam Teicher here in the program. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Royals, of the Chiefs, of the Kansas City Current. Did you know that the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current, the University of Kansas Health System, recognizes the unique challenges that female athletes face? That's why they created the region's only female athlete program, helping student athletes and adult weekend warriors reach their full athletic potential. Learn more at Kansas. healthsystem.com/female athlete. Adam, I will start you with this. When it's all said and done, do they pick before, at, or after 32?
I'll say at 32.
Okay. Who was the best quarterback after Caleb Williams?
Best quarterback after Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels.
You're a Jaden Daniels guy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. When does the first Sparty go?
Going to be a while. I'll say they got an offensive lineman, Nick Samak. I'm going to say fifth round.
Fifth round. Okay. That's good. All right. And then what's your go-to food for the draft?
Go-to food. How do you beat pizza? You can't beat pizza for the draft, right?
I don't know. I mean, I love me some pizza, always, sure, but I love me some barbecue. You know, there's a lot of things I love, so.
Yeah, well, pizza can be a go-to thing for a lot of things, right? Not just the draft, but I'd say pizza.
All right, we'll take it. Adam, I look forward to talking to you on Friday when we see what the Chiefs have done there in round one, my friend. Enjoy it.
All right, good stuff, Saran. Talk to you then.
All right, the good sense. End of the hour answer. How many Royals, L.A. De La Cruz did this for the Reds over the weekend, how many Royals have hit a home run and stolen three bases in the same game?
How many Royals?
Yes.
Home run and three SBs? Carlos Beltran, Bo Jackson, Johnny Damon would seem like candidates for this. George Brett.
One of the three you've named did it once.
Willie, probably.
Nope.
No? Vince Coleman?
Nope.
Tom Goodwin?
Nope.
One.
I'll give you the years.
Okay.
1975, 1989.
So 89... So one of the guys I named
did it.
Which is who?
Bo Jackson.
Okay, in 89.
That was 89. The other did it in 75.
Amos Otis. Nailed it.
Not bad.
Challenge me at some point, would you? Would you just challenge me a little?
He gave you the answer when he gave you the years, really, because he just wanted the number.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Is how many?
Two, huh?
Dos. Bo and A-O. B-O and A-O. You guys are pretty good.
B-O?
Bo Jackson.
I know.
Vincent Edward Bo. That's what Bo and A-O.
B-O sounds like, you know.
It does.
It's one of those initials you don't give your kid.
Not generally, no.
Is your last name Osterman? Don't name your kid Bo.
Just don't do it.
Hey, B.O., you just don't do it.
No.
Good sense, good sense.
If your last name is Sweeney, you just change your last name before you start having kids.
So you don't end up being Mike's?
Mike's Weenie.
That's...
Or another name I've heard, Zweener.
Sweens.
Sween dog.
If you've got a graduation party coming up, let Good Sense cater for you. Their freshly sliced sub trays, fresh baked cookie trays, family sized pastas, or gourmet meatball slider kits are perfect for your graduation party. Good Sense makes catering easy. Get $5 off any large catering tray or family sized pasta with code WHBG5. That's WHBG5. Make sure you put that in at GoodSense.com or on the Good Sense app, and you will thank me later. It'll be the ultimate spread for your party. They do a great job with the catering. It's Good Sense, GoodSense.com, and use WHBG5 to save yourself $5. $5, $5.
Hell yeah, it is.
You know? I'll take my $5 right now.
Yep. No question.
How should the Chiefs handle a player at risk? T'Vondre Sweat, Texas. DWI, week of. First of all, it's just not good to be picking up a DWI in the midst of the draft process. It has to make you wonder, how serious are you taking this whole thing? It's like when guys show up fat at the combine. Like, are you taking this serious or not?
I always go back, Justin Houston, I always go back to, he was a lot of people thought perhaps a first rounder. He fell to the third. Chiefs got incredible value picking him in the third. But I wonder if it was the drug test for pot itself, or is the fact that it came on the day of his drug test for the combine, that it wasn't just the fact that he had smoked pot. It was that, like, if there was a day, like, you knew this was coming. That, I think, was less the pot as much as his judgment.
I don't think anybody cares at all about weed.
No, that's just an example.
No. I'm saying, for those that are like, what, and Justin Houston ended up being a great player, and yes, I know. And I don't think it's a thing. And in fact, I don't think it's been a thing. That was probably the last time somebody paid the price was about Justin Houston.
That could be Justin Houston's career, could be why.
I remember like 18, 19 talking to a guy, and he's like, dude, they're all on weed. Like, we're not, that's not a thing.
I mean, just go back to North Dallas 40.
Yeah. So that's.
Couldn't feel the pirate.
But it is the idea of, if you can't be wired in now, when are you going to be? Right? And that's the thing that, hell yeah, you question if you're a team. You know, like right now, that's what you're going through. That's going to be the difference maker. You know, and we got a guy that we can count on, we got a guy that we can't. As much as you can know, right? That being the ultimate caveat. As much as you can know.
I'm tempted to say that if you look at this individual player, if you look at T'Vondre Sweat and say, we're good with him, we think he's going to be okay, the argument can be made that you draft him. That the other things that have happened around make the public perception of that may be a negative, certainly. You run the risk of your overall ability to spot guys, maybe, if something goes wrong there. Those things get added on to it. It won't be just T'Vondre Sweat. If T'Vondre Sweat gets drafted by the Chiefs and screws up, it's not going to be just him that's on Brett Veach's resume. It's going to be the other things going to get piled on top of it as well. But you could make a compelling argument that if you honestly believe that guy is going to be okay, you draft him.
Remember when, I think it was Veach who said this, but whoever it was that said to you, if we're right about Patrick Mahomes, no one's going to remember what we gave up. If they like Sweat and he peels off a few 15 sack seasons, no one's going to remember, and doesn't get in trouble again, no one's going to remember this happened.
Well, I think that's true, but if he does get in trouble, then they are going to remember.
Yeah.
Right? That's the flip side.
Yes. It's massive risk, ultimate risk reward.
Yeah, and people remember Todd Blackledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, they didn't trade up to get him, but they drafted him. Like, they'll remember the ones you get wrong. Right? Like, Brett Veach has apparently been on a DK Metcalf press junket, as has been written in the Star, and he was on a podcast talking about DK Metcalf being the one that got away and all that, which I appreciate, the, you know, shows the confidence he has that he can acknowledge, yeah, I made a mistake. You know, I remember when that was going on, I remember people telling me, there's an injury question. There's some character red flags. And, you know, he said, you know, listen, we made a mistake because he's been fine. You know, wish we'd have made that pick. And, you know, I wonder how much, too, Brett Veach is there falling on the sword for his coaches, his head coach. Because was DK Metcalf, well, we don't need a big bodybuilder. I need a guy who can get in and out of his breaks. Right? I'm going to tell you, Al Saunders liked a different kind of wideout than Bill Walsh liked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
for sure.
The Vermilier, they rounded the routes. They didn't put the foot in. They didn't want a squared off 90-degree angle. They wanted you running clear through it. So they wanted a more rounded route. And that was a different kind of player than, say, the guy who's going to win a jump ball, a post-up jump ball. And so I do think that's, you know, the whole DK Metcalf thing, yes, ultimately goes on Brett Veach's plate, but were they asking for a lighter, quicker guy? I don't know. How big is he going to get? Is this David Boston here? Like David Boston got like 260.
Physical all, freak. But just,
yeah, all muscle, yeah. But he outgrew the position. I mean, he liked working out more than he liked playing football. So, you know, I don't know. But I would like to see a wideout. And if you want my, you know, a wideout we've all talked about, Ladd McConkey. I'll give you a wideout further down that I like. If he's there, Devontae Walker from North Carolina. I'd like to see him. But that's more in the second, third round range. But I think they'll take a wideout. I think they'll take a defensive lineman. I hope they take a tackle. But I'm not convinced they'll take a tackle. And if they don't, I expect Donovan Smith to be signed soon after. You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mizzou, it looks like, has an AD.
Not official yet, but they're finalizing a deal. ESPN and Yahoo have both been on this with Memphis Athletic Director Laird Veach. If that name sounds funny to you in the Midwest, it probably should.
Doesn't sound funny.
Or it's familiar.
Sounds like the name that I heard first when the whole process began months ago.
Yes. I meant familiar. I didn't mean funny.
Leading one to believe, what the hell took so long?
He's been at Memphis since 2019. Prior to that, he was at Florida. He spent a number of years at Kansas State, where he is a grad. He was on the 92 to 94 team for Bill Snyder. He was a linebacker at K-State. He also worked at Learfield Sports. He worked with Mizzou Properties. He worked at Iowa State. He was at Mizzou as assistant athletics director for development, and he was also at Texas when he got out of college. He's been a few places, but that's been at Memphis the last 5 years, and he has five seasons.
So what's it say to you? You're the resident Tiger fan, but it took this long to land back on the name that was one of the very first ones that we heard back in Royal Spring Training.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it hasn't been months, but
a couple of months and a
half.
That
would have been
months.
About the 17th, 18th of February?
Yeah.
So a couple months.
Pretty close.
About 2 months. Two solid months.
They probably thought that's the guy. Let's go see if there's anybody else.
Wasn't that the first name that
I think
Gabe Bearman said to us?
I think so. I think it was. That's my memory.
So it taking this long, why?
I don't know other than
speculate.
So my speculation is that they thought
reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation is that I think they probably knew he'd be on the list. Maybe one. Let's not do this too quickly. Let's see if we can. Is there anybody else out there? We want to make sure we exhaust all opportunities. This is a big hire, and either they. Other names they had didn't come to fruition, or they looked around and went, this is the best name we're going to find. Let's just hire him.
Entirely possible. It was the most exhaustive, complete search in the history of athletic directors. That is absolutely one of the options. Here's another one. No one wanted the job. You know, listen, Dayton Moore allegedly turned down David Glass 3, 4, 5 times when, okay, you want the job? Yeah, I'm interested in the job. Well, you're going to spend in Latin America? No, we don't spend in Latin America. I'm out. Not taking it. Can't win doing that. No chance. Okay, we'll spend in Latin America. All right, you spend in the draft? Well, just the slot money. I'm out. Can't win doing it that way. You gotta be willing to manipulate around there. Mm-hmm. You know, he told David Glass no. Presumably, David Glass took another look around, couldn't get anyone else to agree to it, or couldn't find anyone else he liked. Eventually, came around and got his guy. Do we think that there's something like, okay, I don't answer to a committee? Because that was the big thing.
That'd be the one thing. Because you've got a football program that appears to be, I don't want to say up and running, but pretty close. You've got a basketball team that's coming off a horrific season, but that clearly didn't stop them in acquiring talent. Still maybe a burgeoning program there. Your top two sports look like they could be winners. There must for that to be a stay away from program would have to be the things you mentioned. Are there so many things that are required of an AD that it's just not worth the hassle?
For all the things that ADs do at about $1 million, don't they seem grossly underpaid?
Yes. Holy hell, there's a lot of jobs I'd take.
Wasn't Desiree Reed Francois like 1.2 and took like $1 million even or 1.1 or something with Arizona? I mean, like, if you're standing watch on $8, $9, $10 million coaches and generating $100, $200, $300 million stadium plans and all that, like, that seemed like a job that might pay more.
Yes. I'm amazed how little that is. There's jobs that pay less than that I wouldn't take.
All right, let's take a break. We come back, 2-minute drill around the country. 2 minutes at a time, talking to the people covering the stories.
All right, the Rockies are the first team to trail in each of their first 22 games since who? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.